Sure been a blessed meeting thus far. Thank the Lord for the good words we've heard from the Word of God. Sweet prayer, wonderful song service. And the truth, I believe, has already been declared of salvation by the grace of God. And how that we not only have the salvation that it takes care of us eternally, but supplies just what we need day by day as we live here in this world. I felt like he was preaching directly to me. And I hope each of us felt that to some degree this morning. So easily distracted with the things of this world and forget about all of the many blessings that the Lord has supplied each and every day. And when we do that, we do lose our joy. God's children can't lose their eternal salvation. That's right. Secure in the Lord.
Amen.
But we sure can lose the joy of that salvation. And the joy of His salvation that's been given to us. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So that's an evidence that a man like David, a man that the Lord's on the heart, he could live in a way that he lost the joy. And I can relate to that. As a matter of fact, it's good news for me today, because if God's little children couldn't lose the joy of their salvation, I'm surely in trouble, because that must mean I'm not one of His children, because there have been times I've lost my joy. How about you? You lost your joy. And I forget to be mindful of just what we've heard today. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to be like Him. And all these things that you stand in need of shall be added unto you. And we have to do that. And the next verse, that verse he didn't get to, really talks, I know he wanted to, but the verse he didn't get to, is talking about a day-to-day, it's a day-to-day battle. It's not like, not like when you get that box checked and I don't have to worry about that anymore. A good day is a good day, thank the Lord for it, but it's not going to take care of tomorrow.
That's right.
And when you get up in the morning, and when I get up, if there is a morning, I'm going to need the same Lord to be with me that supplies my blessings today. And sometimes we seem to have it in check. We seem to be able to look, and by the grace of God, we're able to handle it. And maybe have a whole week of that, and then think, well, we got this taken care of. And that's when we get forgetful. We get presumptuous. The Bible speaks of presumptuous sins. Just presuming things. We just expect, because the Lord's been with me, He's going to be with me. That just because He blessed me yesterday, I can just sit back and expect His... He would have us at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, choosing that good part that Mary chose to be at the feet of Jesus. Not every once in a while, not just on Sunday morning, but every single day, every single evening, every single night, every moment of our lives. And we have that kind of God who is dealing with us and is there for us providentially. The Bible says He will never leave us nor forsake us. Somebody said, well, He said that to Joshua. But the Hebrew letter tells me, says that what He said to Joshua was for us too. We can boldly say the Lord is my helper, because He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And that's why I can depend upon Him to always be there. There's nobody else like that. Your dearest loved ones here in this world that would do anything for you, can't be with you, and do for you what only God can do. And that's good to know, that we have a God who, because of His love for us, will always do what He says, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when we are aware of that, we don't worry so much. I don't stress so much. My ticker gets along better. My health physically is better. And my health mentally, and mental health. Listen, you can have the best of physical health. If your mental health is in trouble, you're in trouble. I mean, that's a big one. And our society knows that. But their answer to that, they don't know. And they go to so many things that don't really give us long-term deliverance. They give us a temporary fix. We don't need a temporary fix that really isn't a fix. We need deliverance from the troubles and the stresses and the problems of life every day. And that's in Jesus. Yeah. Jesus is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is our help. He's our anchor. He's our light. And without him, we're in the dark. He's our food. Without him, we are hungry. He's our drink. Without him, we're thirsty. He is our wisdom. Without him, we don't know what to do. He is our redemption. He's the one who paid the price. He's our sanctification. He's our everything. And without him, we are nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So I need him in every aspect and every avenue of my life. And y'all already know that. We've already heard it again today. But it's good to hear it again, isn't it? And to be reminded of it so that we won't forget that. So we know where we ought to look. Text I'm going to read in your hearing. I know I've preached on recently. I don't know where. I tried to look and find out exactly where. But it wouldn't have helped me anyway. It's what's on my mind. If I'd have preached on it yesterday, it's either that or I'm not going to be able to say anything this morning. So I'm going to read the text in your hearing. If you say, well, Brother Gary preached on that such and such a place, well, your memory is better than mine, but you are probably accurate and correct in your assumption and what you're thinking. But it's a good verse. It was good whenever I talked on it before. It's good today. And thank the Lord for it. It just opens up a whole lot of other verses that are among my favorites. And we all have some favorite verses, verses that mean a lot to us. And if you're like me, those change along the way, have changed over time. You add to your collection of favorites, and hopefully we're adding to them. And not, you know, it's hard to keep up with my forgetter. Sometimes I've got to work hard to keep it in my memory, because sometimes I'm thinking it's my favorite, my new favorite, where it really I look later and find out it's not a new favorite at all. There's a Bible somewhere in the house where that's marked and highlighted and everything else. But anyway, we're thankful to the Lord that he gives us his word, aren't you? Aren't you glad we have the Bible today? And it's the word of God. And it's truly that which truly furnishes us to everything that we need to know. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you're seeking in part his word, because without the guidance that comes from his word, you don't know anything about the kingdom. The kingdom is declared in God's word. The kingdom is where the king is. And the king is what's declared in God's word. It's God's word that's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us who he is. It tells us that he is the prophet that we need for all instruction. It tells us that he's the high priest that we need for all of our cleansing. It tells us that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It tells us that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no one like him. And that's who we serve today. He's the Lord who is our shepherd, the Lord who takes care of his sheep, the Lord who owns them, the Lord who makes them, the Lord who keeps them, the Lord who sustains them, the Lord who feeds them, the Lord who shepherds over them, the Lord who chastens them and corrects them. And he does that with his word. He feeds you with his word. He corrects you with his word. He encourages you with the word. The same word can cut you down and lift you up at the same time. Not the stuffings out of you, so to speak, and then pick you back up and put you right on the right road. And we need all of that. And if a minister preaches, he's to preach the word, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's to preach the written word that testifies of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he declares that to God's little children that they might recognize, I need him in every area and aspect of my life. And if you know that, that's an evidence that you belong to him before the very foundation of the world. He loved you, and he saw you, and he chose you. Even before you existed, he had a love for you. And I read one of the commentators that said in the scheme, I don't really like the word scheme, because scheme sounds like, you know, he's got some kind of devious plan going on, you know, it's the scheme of God. I know what he intended. He really intended the purpose of God, what God pleased to carry out. plan doesn't work so well either, because we think of plans in the sense that God can plan to do this and maybe fail, and God didn't plan or fail. God purposed to save his people from their sins.
Right.
And he had that in his mind and in his thoughts even before man had sinned. God, in his foreknowledge, knowing, God didn't make us do it, but God knew what we would do, had already purposed to save his people before they ever fell. God knew that. That's how big God was. And that's how far back God's love goes. God's love goes all the way back to before the foundation of the world. And God's love was not addressed to everybody in general in hopes to get somebody in particular. You know, that's the Arminian idea, the thought in the world, is that God tried to save everybody. That was his scheme. That was his plan. That would be a scheme and a plan. And they believe that many of them will be missed, because what God schemed and planned to do needs man's assistance in order to bring the scheme and the plan into place. But the truth tells us that God didn't scheme or plan, really. He purposed to save his people from their sins, and there's absolutely nothing that could come in between or cause that plan not to take place, cause that scheme, cause that purpose of God to not occur. In other words, God who purposed to do something will accomplish it. I believe, and you believe, I trust in your heart today, in a God who's as big as he needs to be to carry out every purpose that he intended to carry out. He purposed to do it. And when God purposes to do something, it's already good as done. That's the God we serve. It's the God we preach. That's what we teach here. That's why the reason we teach it is not because it's particular unto us. It's because it's what's in the Word of God. That God chose the people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knew who they were, and he loved them, and that love that was placed upon them could never turn to hate, could never turn to anything. It is always love. It will always be love. A love enough that if you start messing up and I start messing up because he loves us, he's going to correct us. He may even hide his face from us for a little bit so that we can't see him. You know, he isn't playing with us. He loves us. Therefore, he's drawing us back. Aren't you glad he reaches down and touches us and draws us back, uses even the situations in our life, even things that God is not the author of in the sense of sin. He overrules them. God is not the author of confusion. There's sin and confusion in this world. But he uses that. And he overrules that in order to bring about his purpose in securing us for heaven and also helping us here in this world so that we would remember him and live for him and honor him and praise him. While I'm thinking of it, I think dear Sister Barbara got a little sick, so let's pray that she'll be all right. There won't be anything. The Lord knows what that is. But let's just remember to pray. Still in faith. So let's pray that all goes well there. See, we have someone to go to even there.
Right.
So when it hits you, and it's not if it hits you, it's when it hits you. Remember, you have a rock,
right,
who loved you before the foundation of the world, that will always love you and is always there for you all the time. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
You may call me up and I won't answer. I may call you up and you may not answer. Right. You may call me up and I answer and you wish I hadn't, because of the way I share things that are sometimes not the way they ought to be. I might not encourage you. I might depress you. I might discourage you. Don't want to do that, but in my best efforts, I find that's a battle that we've already heard about, that we fight every day. But when you look to Jesus, you'll never be sorry.
Amen.
When you look to his word, you'll never be ashamed. That means you'll never be, I wish I hadn't gone that way. I wish I hadn't made that call. I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. He's promised. It's a shall. He will be with us and is with us. And that's who we serve.
That's right.
Romans 5, verse 1. Says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that statement through our Lord Jesus Christ in many places in the scripture. Everything good in our lives comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing that you ever have comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, comes through the work of Christ. It's not because we've earned it, not because we merited it, it's by His grace that we have it. That's true eternally, that we'll have a home in heaven that's there for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you, and the reason we have it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Romans 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, justified means you are declared to be righteous. Today, I can, from the authority of God's word, tell you that you're righteous in the sight of Almighty God, not because of what you've done, not because of what of your actions or your works, not even because of your faith. Because if you have faith, you have it because He gave it to you. It's the gift of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and you are declared to be righteous by the Lord Himself through Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for you. Now, the Bible goes on down here a little bit more, and He says, through His blood, we're justified by His blood, which means we're justified by His death. Which means he went to the cross and He shed His blood in order to pay the sin debt that you and I owed. We had sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could never be accepted in peace with God. We could never be embraced in heaven. We could never be with Him if it had not been for a work that He did for us. But He has done that work. And I'm here as an ambassador for Christ. Somebody said, that doesn't sound... That may not sound in some people's mind like old Baptist language, but I'm telling you, that is old Baptist language, because that's what the Apostle Paul said.
That's right.
We are to tell God's little children how great things the Lord had done for them. We're to declare unto them how Jesus loved them in particular and died for them in particular, so that they might be with Him in particular and be seen today washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks upon you not based upon what you are by your walk, naturally speaking. He looks upon you with your sins removed from you, because that's what Jesus did at Calvary. And His righteousness given to you. You see, not only did He take away our sins, but He gave us His righteousness. Isn't that wonderful that we got a God who did both? He didn't just say, I'm going to take away your sins and now leave it up to you to continue in a good way. Because if that had happened, you know how many of us would have continued? Not one. The Apostle Paul said, when he would do good, what did he say? Evil is present with him. You know why? Because they got an old nature that is still continuing. You're battling it right now. And I'm battling it right now. In the pulpit. Battling the old flesh. You're battling in the pew. As we sit here, our mind wanders, our thoughts wander. I'm not in your head, but I am in your head in the sense that I know what the Bible tells us, that we all are prone to wander. We all bent for backsliding. We all have a nature that wants to go the contrary way. Yes, He leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake, but you have an old nature that wants to go in every way but that. Something comes up, you want to fix it. Something comes up, you want to say something. Something happens, you just want to, the old flesh rises up and says, somebody ought to say something. So guess who? I'll be the one, jump up and say it. So many times I've heard things come out of my mouth, and like the Lord looked at Peter on the day He denied Him, He looks at me in my heart and says, what are you talking about? You're my child. How could you say that? How could you think that? How could you doubt me? How could you doubt my love for thee? How could you doubt my caring for thee? How could you question? Why do you think you have to take a sword out and cut off the servant's ear? Why do you think you have to handle things? Because that's about as good a soldier as you would be. You think Peter was trying to cut off Malchus's ear? I'm telling you, Peter said, I'm going to handle him. He's coming to get my Lord. I'm going to step up and handle him. And he wasn't told by God to do that. As a matter of fact, the Son of God told him, put your sword away. Because he who lives by the sword is going to die by the sword. And it was not for this purpose that I came. He knew he was having to go to the cross. He knew that old Gary Luke's sins and your sins and all of the sins of his people would have to be placed upon him. He knew that the stripes would have to be given, not only by the hands of men. That was nothing compared to what the very wrath of God, his heavenly Father, crushed him. He bruised him. He wounded him. Because of my sins, and because of your sins, because of the sins of all the elect family of God. And there at Calvary, he removed them. And Peter wanted to stop all of that. He said, I know better. I'm going to stop all that. So he takes his sword out and he swings at that servant's ear. He didn't mean to hit. He was aiming for his head. Don't you think he was cutting off an ear? Somebody's attacking and wants to do somebody harm, you don't go for the ears. You know, you go for the head, don't you? I'll cut his head off. Hateful and hating one another. And if it were not for the grace of God, we would live like that.
Yeah.
We would die like that. And we'd leave this world. And we'd immediately be cast into a place of eternal separation from God, awaiting the day of judgment when we would stand before God and be judged according to all of our works, and our works all condemn us, and hear the words from the God of heaven, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But because God loved you before the very foundation of the world, and you said, how can I know that he loved me? Do you love him today at all? Do you feel a little, does this book mean anything to you? I know it does. Do you have a longing that you belong to him? Is that your desire that he is yours? You didn't stir that up in yourself. And I'm not up here to tell you, well, you just walk on that and flame that little fire and try to take that little yellow flame and make it turn into a blue one and doing all of that. Listen, the only one that can make your yellow flame turn into a blue one is the same one who lit your fire to begin with. And that's the God of heaven who, when you were dead without any flame, was an enemy and against God in every way. He awakened you by his grace and he gave you life. And that life that he's given you, sometimes it may get dim. I'm telling you what, he can light you up. I've been in some meetings where I got lit up, you know. I've seen brethren get lit up where they get loud. all they want to do is tell somebody about it. They get excited. They look peculiar. They look strange. You know, on the day of Pentecost, it says they're drunk with wine. These men aren't drunk too early. They're not drunk. They weren't filled with the liquor of this world and with the spirit of this world, those kind of things. They were intoxicated, all right. The Spirit of Almighty God had gotten in their heart, and they weren't ashamed to lift up their voice and give praises unto God and say, amen, and say, hallelujah. The God of heaven has been so good to me because he lit them up. That's what you do when you come to church. You don't come to get alive.
That's right.
You come to wake up. Brother Jimmy helped me wake up some this morning. I didn't like it at first, but I'm liking it now. I don't want to forget him, do you? I want to remember him. I don't want to live like he hadn't done anything for me. Because he has.
That's right.
I don't want to act like everything's going to continue to be bad. Because he hadn't promised us that. You know what he promises? He promises to take care of us every day of our life. His grace is sufficient. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Whatever problem you've got, no matter how big it might seem to you, I know going to school scares you to death, but I'm telling you, God's going to be there when you get there, and he's going to take care of you in the midst of that. He'll take care of your teacher, too. He'll help you cut grass, won't he, Brother James? He helps us. Our God's real.
That's right.
We're not serving a fictitious God, a made-up God, a make-believe God. Our God made the heavens and the earth. He created this world. I say he did a good job, don't you? Look at it. I don't know what it looked like on the day of creation before sin entered into the picture. It had to be beautiful because even now, with my sin-cursed eyes, I look upon a sin-cursed world and I can see how great God. Because we've got a great God who did what we could not do and is doing it every day. He's painting your picture outside right now. Don't go out there and not look at it. And don't go out there and not thank him for it. And when you see a little brother or a little sister get down, don't go crawling in the ditch with them. Reach a hand down by the grace of God, because if you're up, it's because God got you up. Reach down and lift them up and help them. How do you do that? Just share the book. Share what he's done. Amen. Tell him what a great God. You say, well, they've heard that before. It's still the truth. They may not want it. Maybe like a preacher sitting up here on the front didn't want to hear that particular chapter and verse right now because it hit a little too close to home. Did it hit you close to home? If it did, you know what that means? That means he loved you that much to send you that message this morning. That's pretty personal, isn't it? But that's the God we serve. Therefore, being justified by faith, what does that mean? And made righteous by faith. It means what I hear today in the truth, I can embrace it because he's given me faith that enables me to embrace it. And therefore, in my heart and in my mind and in my conscience, I can feel that it's done for me. Election won't mean anything for you if you don't feel to be one of the elect.
Right.
God's death on the cross won't mean anything to you if you don't feel like he died for you. Heaven won't mean anything much to you if you don't think you're going to be there. And the way that we're going to be there is not because we believed, but our believing gives us peace. Right here, right now, I'm going to be in there because I'm not trusting, and I don't want you to trust in one iota in what you're doing for the Lord.
Right.
I want you to trust wholly and completely about what the Lord has done for you. And then you are justified by faith. In the court of your conscience and your heart, you feel his love, you feel his mercy, you feel his grace. And there's no better feeling in this world. It's a little earnest of what we, and earnest means it's a down payment. It's what he lets you have a little bit of right now while you're still living. We can't enjoy the blessings of eternal heaven, but we can get a little part of it right down here. That's what you get when you come to church. That's what you get when you get in the Word. That's what you get when you get at the feet of Jesus like Mary was, and you look for that good part. He gives you that little earnest of the inheritance. He gives you that feeling that you're mine, you belong to me. Like the psalmist, like the writer Solomon says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I hope you feel that today. Not only that he has a beloved, but that I am my beloved. I belong to him, and my beloved belongs to me. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that phrase? He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace. Need a little peace? I need some peace. Where does the peace come from? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith. Where does the faith come from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you faith, enabling you to believe, and then as you believe, he gives you peace. That's safest for everybody. We have a great God. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. We were justified eternally by the blood of Jesus. Washed, paid for, made righteous. We are declared to be righteous. He died for our sins. He rose again for our justification. That's done in our hearts. We're justified before God in our hearts when we feel the peace in our hearts because of what he did for us. And by faith, we embrace it. And you feel clean. And then we're justified by works. When we walk in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord, and you look like, and you talk like, and you act like a little child of God, and others can see you before men in their eyes, you look to be right and to be whole. Y'all look good today. Not in yourselves.
That's right.
But it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason is you've worked out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it was God who first worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
That's right.
And when you see good going on in the world, always remember, thank the Lord. It all comes from him.
That's right.
Appreciate your kind attention to the time I've stood before you. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Bless you.
Son, shoot your words. God bless you. What number? 25. Amen. Sister Judy will like this. Used to be 26. She would always say it that way. Number 26. Come thou fount. We'll stand and sing number 25, and we do. We publish the open door of the church. If there be one or more here that have a desire to unite with this little church, either through baptism or by any way that's scripturally sound, that is, you have a desire to be a member here, you let your feelings be made known. Follow your Lord in baptism, whatever your case may be. We'll hear from any that feel that way as we stand and sing together number 25. Come thou fount. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing.
Brother Ronnie Brown and Sister Doris, they had talked to me before services, and they had reached out to their home church down in Florida and asked about moving the membership back to Happy Creek. And it was their desire to come back here. And I kind of told him that if he's going to do that, to come on up. So I didn't go back and get him. I just knew that that's what he wanted to do. And I didn't. The first thing he did when he walked into the door back there is throw his hand up, and he had a little paper with the name of the clerk and the name of the church and how to get the letter. So I knew he was anxious, and we're anxious for them to be back home. It's been too long.
Yep.
We haven't been able to have sweet fellowship, and what I've enjoyed just recently just has stirred up so many wonderful blessings and memories. I just thank God for it. What's the mind of the church as far as receiving again? Motion is made and said, and all in favor show by the lifted hand. I'm sure if we could see online, we'd see a lot of the hands at home being lifted up. We will send a letter to them, letting them know that we desire to have them as members, and they will be members pending their letter. Once we get the letter from them, then that'll settle everything. But I want to give you an opportunity to come by and give them the right hand. As far as we're concerned, church fellowship, we'll wait till that letter comes and that'll make everything clear. But you need to have a seat, man. Are you okay? Let's pull that chair out.
Yeah, okay.
Bring him on. He says he's okay.
You sit down, it's right behind
him. If you need to sit, there it is. Anyway, well, any that feel so led, you come around and let your feelings be known. We'll sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
And when
You can be seated then. Sunday is Saturday before the third Sunday is the annual meeting at Thorn Gap.